at my image of her, and she added, I want to be a professional singer someday.
What, like a rock star? Which didn't suit her at all.
I don't know, maybe. I take voice lessons, and I tried out for show choir last year, but I didn't make it. My mom said, it's because you're fat. No one wants to look at a fat girl, Caitlin. Nice mom, I said, feeling, if possible, closer to her. I know, but she was right. I lost 35 pounds, and then you asked me out. Making it all worth it? I swear I was joking when I said that, but she said, kind of. Smiling, but serious. I did have the biggest crush on you in seventh grade. You gave that report on alternative power sources in Mr. Olfest's class. I said I couldn't believe she remembered that. I moved closer. She said, I thought you were so smart, so... You didn't notice me, of course. I didn't notice anything in seventh grade. I still thought I'd play pro football in seventh grade. I rolled my eyes. That was nice, actually. She laughed. You wouldn't have noticed me anyway. Her fingers touched mine, and I leaned toward her. I notice you now. I reached to caress her cheek, my lips an inch from hers.
Oye, Nick! Caitlin!
Liana's voice was like the splash of cold water that followed. Caitlin and I separated, looking at the pool where Liana and Tom were locked in chicken fight combat with Peyton and Saint. They were losing ground quick. Liana shrieked at us to help them. I didn't move. They splashed harder, screaming for us to join them. After a monsoon drenched her skirt, Caitlin said, Guess we have to. I tried to stop her, but she stripped to her bathing suit and slid into the water before I could see much of her. I looked at the spot where she'd been sitting, then down at the pool, and it dawned on me that there I could touch her like I was dying to. God, her legs would be around my head. I tore off my shirt and leaped in. We didn't last long in the fight. Caitlin slipped from my shoulders in seconds. Sorry, she sputtered, hugging herself and jumping side to side. Don't be. I moved closer, feeling her leg against mine. Droplets of water ran down her chest and beaded on her breasts. I'd die to touch them. Would she let me? Not likely. Still, for one moment, everything was possible. I fingered her waist, then wimped out. So, it's just you and your mom, then?
Yeah, like you and your dad. Ever wish you had brothers or sisters?
No, I've got Tom. He's my brother. She nodded. I'm the same way with my friend Elsa. I waded closer, my hand more firmly on her waist. Know what I was thinking before we went swimming? I think so, she looked into the water. I thought maybe you were going to kiss me.
Really?
I raised her chin, whispering. I thought so too. Suddenly there was a crash. It came from the house, like a bus hitting a brick wall. Caitlin and I separated. We cleared the pool and ran through the maze of rooms. Mayhem. Total mayhem. We stood dripping in the Schaefer's bright white dining room. Except it wasn't white. Someone had spray-painted all over it. Chairs were overturned, backs broken off. The crash had been the chandelier. It lay between the table legs, having broken through the glass top. Crystal shards carpeted the room. In the center were three guys from school. Juniors. They wouldn't have been invited. All had greasy hair and tattoos. One wore a goatee, another a dog collar with I Love Satan painted on. They were pretty cut up from the chandelier. Still, they giggled like maniacs.
Come on in. Water's fine, said the guy with the goatee. His name was Dirk. I recognized him from junior high, where he'd spent assemblies picking his zits and eating them.
Oh, God, Caitlin whispered next to me. I slipped my arm around her. Then people went in all directions. Someone... Tom, maybe, looked for Zach. Some pushed through and joined in the trashing. Within seconds, they'd laid waste to the living room, too. Most of us just stood there, but Caitlin looked frightened, so I tried to guide her back toward the patio.
No, Caitlin whispered.
Then, louder so everyone heard,
No! You can't do this. You can't just trash someone's house.
The chaos stopped. Everyone stared at Kat like she was from outer space. Dirk came at her, stoned and cursing. He eyed Kat in her still-dripping swimsuit.
We're just having fun, baby, he touched her waist.
She made a sound like a hurt bird.
We could have fun with you, you little...
He didn't finish. He didn't finish because my fist met his jaw. Then I was on top of him, wailing on him, not seeing his face, just the paint-mottled walls and Caitlin. And Dirk's hand touching her, hurting her.
My breath in my ears drowned out the crowd sounds around me. Glass splinters ripped my skin. My fists flew, hitting and hitting him, until finally his face was the colors of those walls, and I felt arms lifting me off him. Tom. It was then I noticed Dirk had stopped fighting. He moaned, so he must have been conscious. Tom told me to get up. Zack had called the police. Kat stared. I looked down and saw what she was looking at. Blood. Splinters of glass jutted from my arms, and my body was speckled red. Funny thing, it didn't hurt. But had I screwed things up with Caitlin? She took my hand wordlessly. I followed her through the white-tiled halls to the bathroom and sat on the closed toilet seat. She ran her fingers down my arms, looking for glass. I flinched. "Does it hurt a lot?" she asked. "No, I'm sorry, Caitlin. I screwed up. I saw him touching you, and I lost control. I couldn't stand..." She put her fingers to my lips. "Don't apologize. It's so incredible what you did. No one's ever fought for me but you." Her voice trailed off. She stroked my arm, picked out each shard of glass in her way, then used a washcloth to blot the blood. I relaxed under her touch. For a second, I was 4 years old, going to my mother with a skinned knee and having her tell me not to be a baby. But now it was Caitlin's face, her voice in my ear whispering, "You're a hero, Nick. You're my knight in shining armor." I stood. My arms still bled, but I didn't care. I pulled her close. I was right. Hers was the kiss that mattered. That night, in bed, I flipped through the journal again, remembering. Funny how I can remember stuff that happened months ago, even little things she said or did like it was yesterday. I guess it's because she's still so important to me. I put down the journal and reached for my clock radio. The same words were written on the blackboard 5th period and again in 7th. There the teachers erased it, but since Higgins doesn't use the board, it stayed there all day. I set the alarm to go off an hour early. I'll get to school by 7 to obliterate the words. January 26. Spanish class. Tom stares at me. I'm in Spanish class Monday, flipping through the pictures I took of our group in Key West. Nothing interesting on the blackboards lately. Still, I need to talk to Tom. Across the room, he laughs with St. O'Connor, sitting in what used to be my seat. I look back at the photographs. The Key West trip was 2 months ago, Thanksgiving weekend. But in my mind, it plays like video of someone else's childhood. There's Caitlin and me, silhouetted against the sunset at Mallory Square. Another is the group in front of Zach's parents' vacation house. I took that one, so I'm not in it. But there's one of Tom, Saint, and me pretending to dive at the sign that says, "Southernmost point in the continental United States." The images surprise me now. Was I that person? An hour at the Walgreens lab made it so. I look longest at a picture Caitlin took, Tom and me on Zach's boat. We're waving our diving masks, best friends. I take that one out, along with 3 group shots. The one of Tom and me goes on top. "Señor Andreas, you are doing your workbook, no?" Señor Foray has noticed my inattention. "I'm finished," I say. "Work ahead, then. Do the next chapter." "I finished the book. Want to see?" A few giggles at my nerdliness. Foray shrugs. "Do something quiet, then." "That's what I was doing." Foray nods, and I smile at Jessica Schweitzer, who sits next to me. She looks away. I pull a sheet of paper from my loose leaf. Across the room, Saint raises his hand, and I know what's coming. "Yes, Señor O'Connor?" "Señor Foray," Saint says, "you seen those beaches in Spain?" Foray nods, and the trap is set. It's like one of those nature shows where some clueless mouse or bird crawls right into the Komodo dragon's path. Right now, Foray is the mouse. "The Spanish beaches, they are très beautiful," Foray says in his accent, which is more French than Spanish. I fold the sheet of paper in half and slip the photographs inside, not looking at Señor Foray. I used to laugh at O'Connor's jokes. Now they seem cruel. "Are the women, like, naked there?" Saint asks. Foray tugs on his guayabera shirt. They are topless sometimes, yes. Let me ask you, Senior Foray, why don't European women shave their pits? I mean, do they reek?
The rest of the class is laughing, like I used to when Saint would ask Foray the Spanish word for copulate or mammary. I sneak a look at Tom. He's not laughing. Not listening, probably. Left hand moving on the page before him. I know he's not doing the workbook. He's doodling. 5 years ago, he saw a magazine contest. Draw the pirate. He's been drawing the pirate ever since. I think it's supposed to take less than 1,000 attempts, I told him once. He just shrugged. Saint's still going.
How's a guy keep from getting excited around all these topless women? I mean, European men wear these faggy speedos that don't hide nothing.
I write Tom's name on the package of photographs and pass it to my right. It's back on my desk before the bell finishes ringing. I don't want these, Tom says on his way out the door. But I think I see something in his face, just for a second. Like maybe he's sorry we're not still friends. But he says, I don't want anything from you, Nick. You can't give me a break? I hold the photographs in front of me before shoving them into my backpack. We were best friends for like 10 years. Were being the operative word. That was before what you did to Caitlin. He keeps walking. I follow him. You'd think your best friend would give you a second chance. I don't even know who you are, he shakes his head. My best friend, Nick, wouldn't do what you did. Then he and Saint disappear into the crowd. Later, in my room, I rescue the photographs from my backpack. The one of Tom and me is crumpled at the corner, but I smooth it as best I can and slip it into my mirror frame next to 5 pictures of Caitlin and me. I stare at it a long time. It was stupid thinking I could work things out with Tom. For the first time since Caitlin dumped me, I face facts. I'm on my own. The Journal. After Zach's party, I became an addict. Every year in an assembly for the perkily named Red Ribbon Week, they pass out pamphlets emblazoned with Just Say No, spouting the party line. A single joint today, you'll shoot up in an alley the rest of your life. Yeah, right. But being with Kat was like that. My satisfaction seeing her in school gave way to a need to pick her up every morning, then drive her home days I didn't have football practice, or call after practice, or drive her home, then call. For Caitlin's part, she took the locker by mine, a seat on our group's regular bench at Mr. Pizza, and the appropriately named hump seat in my car, and we sucked face, lots of it. This was all before I said I loved her, even though I did. I was a junkie. Caitlin was my dealer and my drug of choice. The one barrier to bliss was Elsa. Elsa was Caitlin's best friend and fellow first soprano, whatever that meant, which translated into my driving her to lunch with us. Every day. The first time Elsa showed up at my car, I thought I'd picked up a homeless person. She was scrawny, with floppy hat and trailing gauze everywhere. She didn't acknowledge the fact that we'd sat next to one another in English for 2 weeks. She just looked at me with narrowed eyes, then inspected my back seat like a rodent sniffing for predators. Finally, she said, "Nice car. I suppose you worked overtime at the family farm to afford it. Or are you in junior achievement?" I said neither. It was on loan from my cousin Guido, who's in the Jernt. I pronounced it Jernt like in a Joe Pesci movie. Hey, I was joking, but Elsa didn't smile. Like she thought as much. Yet she accepted a seat and rode to lunch with us every day. After 3 days, I realized Elsa was a permanent guest. I confronted Caitlin before Spanish class, asking her why exactly I had to have lunch with Elsa. "We've sat together at lunch for 10 years. I can't just flake on her." "Why not?" I was rooting for flakage. "'Cause it's something Zach would do, not me." I told her you don't get to the top of the food chain without eating some bugs. Caitlin fit in with our group, but they didn't just let anyone join their reindeer games. The rest of the week at Mr. Pizza, Elsa spent the entire hour either talking to Kat or making comments to no one in particular. "I wonder how much that watch cost his parents," she'd say to her sandwich. Or, "She's trying to prove that less really is more," when Peyton showed off her new crop top. Her hatred for me was obvious, and I won't lie about this, mutual. By the second week, we greeted each other with barely concealed disgust. Before the summer heat had burned off, I'd had enough. Caitlin and I had to talk. It happened in the Mustang. We'd dropped Elsa off, and we were going to study at Caitlin's. It was raining, the top was up, and the sound of rain on the ragtop made me horny.
Elsa had been in her usual form, dressed gypsy-style, though Halloween was weeks away, and somehow, when we ran for the car, she'd managed to wedge herself between me and Kat, sitting in front of the stick shift. She flipped through the radio stations like she owned the car, finally settling on something by this teen group I detest. I said nothing. I'd rather listen to them than Elsa. But she babbled on, ripping me and my friends. Peyton's too into her boyfriend, Tom's too into his looks, I'm too into Kat. Well, that part was true. And the whole time, her mouth got bigger and bigger until finally you couldn't see her face at all, just mouth. I went in. I reached down her tunnel of a throat past her intact tonsils and down until my arm disappeared. I yanked out her still beating heart and hurled it to the street. It bounced away. Elsa gasped her last, and I switched the radio back to Y100. Kidding. The music part was true, though. And Elsa's yakking, needless to say. I even got out in the pouring rain to let Elsa out. Once she left, I snapped off the radio. Silence, except the rain, splashing the window, making the world a blur. Like I said, rain makes me horny. I draped my arm across Caitlin's shoulders, fingertips grazing her breasts. Uncharted territory. I waited for Kat to yell stop, but all signals were green, except the traffic light ahead, which was, incredible luck, yellow. I skidded to a stop and kissed her, lips moving down her neck. Then my tongue. A sound escaped her throat. Promising. I reached into her shirt. Nick, it's too soon. Caitlin pulled my fingers from her shirt and placed them on her shoulder. The car was moving again, and she kissed my cheek. I told her lots of girls wouldn't think it was too soon. Ashley, for one. You want Ashley? She asked. I said maybe so. As if. So I said no. I wanted her. I just thought we were pretty serious. I sort of thought I was your boyfriend. She smiled. It was the first time I'd called myself that. But then she said that didn't mean we were going all the way. I said, it's Elsa, right? She hates me, and you think she may have a point. I passed the turn for Kat's house and got back onto the causeway. Neither of us said anything for a few minutes. The water whizzed by in both windows. Caitlin tried to convince me that Elsa didn't hate me. Right. No, she just hates my friends and my car and my clothes and my friends' cars and their clothes. Where does she get off, anyway, acting like Little Miss Proletariat? That wasn't a shack I dropped her off at. And if my car's so god-awful, why is her butt in it all the time? We neared the mainland, and I pulled off onto the beach where people parked nights in the shadows of downtown Miami. I threw the car into park. Look, I don't like you hanging out with her. What? Get rid of her. Kat stared at me like I was crazy. Maybe I'd gone too far. For some reason, I remembered her telling Dirk off at Zach's party, but I wasn't Dirk. What I was saying was for her own good, so I continued. Make your choice, Kat. That bitch or me. Caitlin touched my shoulder, whispering, Nikki. I shrugged her off. Her or me? Hang with me and all my friends, or sit in the cafeteria with Elsa and her Disney lunchbox. I saw I'd hit a nerve with that one. Caitlin stared at the floor, biting her lip. Did she like being a part of my crowd more than she liked me? Was it enough to give up Elsa? It was pouring now, and the skinny pines shook like skeletons by the road. I didn't want Caitlin to call my bluff. I couldn't lose her, but I was protecting myself. Elsa wanted to break us up. I had to know where I stood. A car whizzed by, swamping us in muck. Caitlin gripped the door handle on the edge of her seat. The rain was deafening. I leaned to kiss the back of her neck. Her hand snapped back. Could I still see Elsa when you aren't around? I kissed her again. Sure, but I plan on being around more and more. I want to be together all the time. Caitlin said she wanted that too. She kissed me and put my hand back where it had been. I tried to continue what I'd started, but my horniness had disappeared. Was I crazy? We were on Makeout Row, and she was willing now. Too willing. I slipped my fingers between her breasts. No good. I took my hand away. I said, I've got a test in English tomorrow. I'll take you home. Her own hand, which had started to negotiate its way across my stomach, stopped. She drew away. We drove back in silence, me wondering at my sanity. The next morning, when Caitlin opened her locker, she found a bouquet of white roses inside. I grinned as she did a little dance around the hallway. I hadn't asked too much, after all. I loved her. And with Elsa off my back, I relaxed. Caitlin saw her a few more times, but soon she was too busy with me and with my friends, especially when she got a bid to join Sphinx, Key's best sorority. They'd never have asked with Elsa clinging like a planter wart. I knew Kat was excited. All the girls in our group were Sphinxes, and of course, my girlfriend would be part of our group. The problem was Sphinx took a lot of Kat's time, going to meetings, doing pledge stuff like baking cookies for the members. Once she had to sing the alma mater standing on a cafeteria table. Another time, they made her wear the same clothes 3 days straight. But